From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. We are in a new studio. It may look like the old studio.
But it's not.
To you, but
we're
it's
looking,
not.
We're looking at a void of space and studios and cameras and new lights. And
it's very nice. They have a green room now. It's like a real studio. Gulnaz is very excited because she's got like cool monitors and switchers, and it's pretty weird.
Deep inside the Death Star, she's got a Death Star worth of controls out there.
Controls. They got these lights. They can change the background color. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty fun stuff. So we're excited. A lot of space here. And we're back together for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
I did some with Sylvain recently, and then you've done one before that with Mark Arsenovich, right?
With Mark, yeah.
So, but we haven't been both on the same show for a while.
Yeah.
So, but the we're back. We are back. The duo is back in black. Yes. Yeah. Well, and whatever
orange
color that is.
Rust.
Right on. So, Andrew, you've got some debugging stuff to do this week.
Yeah, so there was an internal conference called Tech Ready. It's where we kind of prep for tech ed, and for build and stuff like that. We kind of practice there, and it's for internal audience. Same scale, same content. It just happens to be Microsoft internal. I did a speech there about hardcore debugging.
Yeah.
Do it every 6 months, and that's where a lot of the content you see comes here. And I thought I'd repeat a segment of that talk today, which actually is quite low level debugging, but level 200, 300, about how to just to get into a dump file and with like one command, work out what's going on, maybe
nice.
Two. So absolute basics, you know, kind of debugger 101.
Yeah.
We've gone through all the steps before about how to, you know, install a debugger.
Mm-hmm.
Go check out the Windows 10 SDK episode round. I will link to it, but it's in the hundreds. And so it's just a matter of bringing up a dump file. We'll start from the scratch. Like, how do you get dump files? A lot of it is to do with practice.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here. So, admin command prompt, winxa, and then you'll see I've got a whole lot of dump files here.
And these are because you've turned on a proc dump.
It is.
Just-in-time debugger.
And so I'll do that right now. We'll just uninstall it for the sake of uninstalling it. And then I'm going to say collect full dumps, memory all. If it's your local box, just get everything. If memory's missing, it just becomes an issue later.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If
so A is for full.
For M all.
A, memory all. Yeah, A.
Mm-hmm. And then if you have more space constrained, which actually I do. I've got an SSD, which is quite full right now.
Yeah.
You can do MP. P is, it stands for mini plus. Risky, you can also think of it as private pages, which means anything that's memory rather than exes and DLLs and things that are mapped in, like fonts and all that type of stuff.
Okay.
And so you just get RAM. Now, you go, well, this stuff's missing, right? Well, mm-hmm. What happens is the debugger goes, hey, it's missing. And we'll actually go to the file on the hard drive and pick up the file and sub it in.
Oh, nice.
Anyway. Mm. And so the only slight downside is that if someone, like a virus or something, has gone and rewritten the executable, you won't see the difference.
Right,
you'll see
right.
You know, what's on disk rather than what's in RAM, which they've modified. Pretty low care factor for that.
Are these less portable then? Because you move that dump to another machine.
They
if that,
are.
If that binary isn't
yeah.
there.
Now, we do index a lot of DLLs on the Symbol server, so we'll download the DLL for you if it's missing.
Mm-hmm.
But locally, MP without a doubt is effective as MA.
Okay.
And then install. I tend to use it as A. I've got hard drive space, and I'd rather just not.
Not worry about that
stuff and just no portability.
Get everything.
It is going to slow it down though.
Yeah.
So the problem with MA is it pulls in the entire DLL and so let's let this run. It pulls in everything. So there's large parts. Let's say you're running Word, right? And it's got the spell checker and the math library and all these other things in
right,
it. Well,
right.
If I'm just writing a Word doc and writing Hello World, or you know, none of that stuff is actually has ever been pulled off the DLL, or the DLLs have never been pulled off the disk. But when you dump it with MA, it says pull up everything possible, even if it's never being used,
mm-hmm.
and bring it into dump file. So you'll find that when you're dumping with MA particularly, it can be slow unless the program was actually, you know, active in working set and most of the executable space was there.
Okay.
So get that. Don't really worry about the command line options. This is MA-I. And then you'll get a process name. So like this is the store version of the Outlook mail app. Mm-hmm. And then year, month, day, hour, minute, second. The future tip hit, the future peak, I'm going to add exception code as one of the keywords. And so,
In the file name.
Yeah, so you'll be able to put exception code in a future release.
So these are all the crashes that you've had since you first set that up.
So directory, I have a batch file called D. This is a little tip. I go on, you type DIR a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my Windows folder, so what I tend to do is you just go copy the console. And
that's
then
cool.
@sign means it turns echo off for that line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when I wrote this the last time, I was a bit slack, but you can actually, the odds are I might actually get to more than 3 parameters and then it won't work.
Right.
Should I go up to 9? How far should I go?
Oh, I don't know. That's probably more than you.
And then Control Z to close it. And now there's a D.cmd. So, you could change it so that default orders by something or whatever, but I just use a shortcut for DIR.
Yeah, nice little way to alias that.
While we're here, actually.
Give yourself a.
I also do this one.
Ah.
And I say put out the line numbers. 3, 4, 5.
This is your power user trick. Save yourself some typing.
So if I want to find anything here with foo in it, it's going through every single file in there and looking for foo.
Right. That's cool.
So rather than having to type find string, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, save you some typing.
Yeah, and the /n just puts out line number when it finds it. All right, so we end up with all these dump files, D or DIR, OD, order by date. So this is the oldest, April 2016, all the way up to August 2016. So mm-hmm. I tend to, every once in a while go through these and go, is this bad? Is this bad? Can I fix it? Can I fix it? Is it bad? Is it bad? Can I fix it?
Because you're a team player that way.
I am. Well, it's more for me rather than the team. But then for the things that I go, oh, that's really bad, because that's my job, I will raise it internally and I'll go yell at someone.
Hey.
The good thing about this dump file is, they're huge, right? Which means,
So the
developer really is much easier because off Watson, off the pipeline, you only get minis, which are like 20K.
Right,
so much more usable.
So you can actually give them the full dump because you set that /ME.
Yep. Yeah. So let's just run through these. Should we do it by name order or date order?
Oh, I don't know. Let's do date, I suppose.
You do date.
Yeah, your disk is almost full. Now, I noticed, by the way, that these show up in blue.
Ah, yes.
Which is something I wanted to call out. There's an option in Explorer for that. I don't know if everybody knows about that.
So these three files are blue, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go into here, the reason why they are blue is under Advanced is they are compressed.
Yes.
Because I don't want to use that much hard drive space.
Well, you have a small hard disk there.
I do. It's only 100 gigabyte, so this one's a bit small. And I do have 4 versions of Visual Studio installed, so it kind of squeezes it out.
Right. And there's an option. I don't think by default the color coding is turned on, but there's an option in Explorer to do that.
And then you go, I tend to turn the quick access off.
Yeah.
The other thing is, people might not know with Windows 10, see this thing here? It defaults to quick access.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do that and do Windows E, you get the quick access view and all your recent files. If you're more of a a command prompty, or not command prompty, but more of a drive person, change it to this PC and it jumps down to here instead of quick access.
That's a good tip.
And so if you're that type of person, you tend to turn off the recently used and frequently ones, which are more nodes at the top.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the compress goes, it is under show encrypted or compressed.
Yep.
So encrypted's green and compressed is blue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that one is. As a habit, I tend to turn it on.
It's kind of handy to have that on.
Yeah. So Yeah, so let's look at the dump files. We can sort by time, and let's go, you know, let's go oldest to newest. We've set up the debugger so that when I enter it, it comes up. And so we actually noticed that this in prep, so we thought we'd go through the exercise of going, well, what's the deal?
Access denied, do pde.dll. Now this is one of the extensions that it's trying to load here, because you've got that set as one of your default.
Yep, the load parameters, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Now I know where this file is, but for the sake of it, I'm just going to go the, if you didn't know where it was. So show me everything that's WinDBG, and it's going to be a file thing because, you know, access denied to the file.
All we need is files, right?
So let's quit that, dumps.
Run that again.
Load it again, access denied again. And there's a couple of ways.
Did you get it? Oh, you didn't.
Oh, what's my filter? Did I?
Did you start the trace? Oh, we might have.
There it goes.
Oh, there it goes.
It's just a little bit hungry. So there's a couple of ways of looking at this. We know it's access denied.
Yeah.
Options. No, is it options? Oh, tools. Tools, count occurrences, status code, which is result, count.
Oh, there it is.
Access denied. Filter. Okay.
There it goes.
Close.
Oh, there,
there it is.
Is.
Access denied to there. Jump to.
Pop that open.
If it wants to. There it goes. There it my goes. Boxes. And lo and behold, there it is. And this shows the point. I write PDE, so I copied it off my own private machine. Well, this is new to Windows 10. I don't know what the name of it is, the feature. But corporate assets are put onto a non-corporate PC or any other PC. When you copy it, it copies it encrypted.
Oh.
And so if they remove the, if they take this out of the domain, then you would lose access to those files. So if someone, for example, loses their laptop, you just say, nope, it's not in the domain anymore. And then the encryption will never be satisfied, and so you can never use the file.
I didn't know that was even a thing.
So this is me upgrading it. I'm just going to delete it. I had some rubbish hanging around, and then I assume that the x86 one's got the same issue, and that one doesn't actually.
That's an older one.
Yeah, and so on the defrag tools OneDrive is where that's from. Close enough. And then under the OneDrive, loading. And then there's pde.zip right there. And then I've already got this extracted, so I'm just gonna, I already got it downloaded. Oh, I've only got 200 megabytes free. It's kind of
iffy.
Yeah. The fan's not, is going a bit rampant. So that's 64-bit one. I'll copy that there. And
X86. You've probably got a huge symbol cache on this machine.
Actually, I do, but that's another folder I have compressed. So my symbol cache is actually under my, and it is compressed. And yeah, it's good call. It is big. So that's probably where most of it's going. So we'll just go with what I've got in the cache and then.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is, I think it may not be happy about being so low on space.
Yeah. So that's, actually what we're going to do is let's sort by name. And let's assume that these are all the same.
Probably a decent assumption.
Yeah. And these are only 5 seconds apart, which is a proc dump ism, where it tends to dump it twice. So let's do that, and then I didn't do shift delete.
Empty that. Give you a little more space to
now
breathe.
I got 2 gig. Okay, that's better.
A little better.
All right, so let's go back to where we were. SVC host. All right, and then our red's gone away.
Oh, good.
And by the way, the reason why it was red is because under here, font, not under font, under view options, I changed the default error to be red rather than black.
Handy.
All right, so once you get to here in any dump file, it actually kind of gives away, it does tend to help you right here, these steps right here. Now, before I go anywhere, bang analyze minus V, it's going to get you the answer. But that doesn't teach you what I did under the hood, right?
Right.
That's what I write for a living. If it doesn't give you the answer, then I need to have an email and know why it didn't give you the answer. ECXR. So when a dump's taken, actually it crashes happens, and then the same process does a create process or proc dump. Well, the create process calls on the stack, right?
Right.
And so it's past the point of the crash, and now all you're doing is waiting for proc dump to finish.
Right.
And so what proc dump does with its minus J parameter and a whole lot of other magic is that it records the registers back when the crash happened.
Okay.
And so if we look at this now, you'll see that actually Windows error reporting is on the stack. That's that code I was talking about.
Right, right. We don't really care about that. That's not
part
of the problem.
And so if you do ECXR, exception context record, which is the exception code and the context record and the exception. So ECXR takes us back in time. ECXR minus one, EXR minus one shows us what it was. So this is an access violation. Because this parameter is zero, it's a read. If it's one, it's a write. If it's eight, it's an execute. I don't know why two and four aren't used, but they're not. And so that's how you go write that, and then from memory eight, which is why it says, hey, this is from memory eight.
Yeah.
ECXR tells us the line of code.
Yeah.
So let me do a CLS. So ECXR gets us to the point.
Yeah.
K for stack, and you can see that the RCX register plus 8, which matches our math, so RCX,
which is zero.
I'm trying to read to it with assembler. The read's on the right, and the write is on the read. No, the write is on the left.
You're moving
the read
from there to ECX.
Yeah, yeah, the read is on the right, and the write is on the left.
Go,
okay.
I think that's right. I'm not going to double check you on that one. I'll just trust you.
Yeah, anyway.
No, that sounds right.
So anyway, RCX is if you're going deeper and lower into the bowels of things, RCX is the register used for this pointer in C++. Yes. So a null, a pointer to a class, a null pointer to a class, plus eight means eight by offset. So it's probably the second or third member first or second member, as in 0, 1, and 2. It's probably one or two members, like M underscore something.
Of the
class.
Object of this class.
Yeah, or structure, you're right. Yeah. So let's find out who this was. LMVM, list module, verbosely with a mask. The mask is going to match perfectly, but let's say I put an asterisk there. That's what the mask is for. Mm. And then in this case, there's one match, which is the one we found.
Yeah.
Biometric plugins,
and
then this is the authentic fingerprint reader.
Looks like an old one too.
It is.
You look at the date on that. 2012.
Yeah, it's quite ancient. So here's another tip for you. If you end up with a number and you're not quite sure whether the date's real, now obviously this date is real because it says it, but formats dot formats, right? And it says it right there. That's the time. But let's say that we do.
Right.
It's a completely different thing. So
it doesn't even give you a valid time.
Where if we do in the 60 range, it's actually lowercase EFGH characters, right? So sometimes you can actually get a string of numbers and go, is that a string?
It looks like characters.
Yeah, it looks like characters.
Yeah, you start to see little patterns like that.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not a valid date either because it's 2023, so it's some years in the future.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting when we start getting
dates that look
characters
like
that are in the date range. Yeah. We'll have to check that out in the code, make sure we kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. All right, so in this case, the fingerprint reader crashed.
Yeah.
The driver is old, as you said.
Yeah, 2012, that 4 years old.
Yep, go look up website. I should do this because it's been crashing for years.
Yeah. go see if there's an updated driver or software software available for your fingerprint reader.
Yeah, and we even have the version number, which is kind of useful. Mm-hmm. Actually, out of interest.
Now, I've noticed recently when I've looked at some, sometimes it doesn't show the version number or the
resources, the strings,
resource,
and all that stuff.
String resources, and because they're paged out.
Correct. And that's what the benefit of MA is. It's going to pull in the version resource.
Yeah, this was on a kernel dump I was looking at. And a lot of times on kernel dumps, especially drivers and things, I think the memory manager will page out some of those pages that just contain like the version numbers and dates and things. And so,
Forum in Lenovo, which is the Lenovo laptop. Solved is on the front word, which is always great.
Maybe that's the same thing, potentially.
Exception code access violation at offset, different offset.
Yeah.
61.1.3.1. Yeah, same guy, same version I've got.
Same driver version.
Blah, blah,
same,
blah.
Not driver, but same software version.
This is probably
the same issue.
Yeah. That's how you go about doing this. So very, very small amount number of commands. So let's do this again. EXR minus one.
That shows you the
what
exception.
What was it? What went wrong?
What was the exception?
Access violation. It was a read from zero. Jump to the point in time where it happened.
Yeah.
Shows the registers, which is nice. Maths here tells us kind of.
I think it is actually the same offset. CCCD.
No, they had CCCD there.
Oh, okay.
And then, okay. And then that shows us the stack. This is the guy. List module verbose. Actually, you could put spaces here, by the way. It doesn't, it doesn't matter. And then voila.
Yeah.
Very cool. And it even tells us, that's the other thing, a benefit of MA is it actually will give you the path.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, it would just actually have this there. It wouldn't be missing the full path.
Right.
So that's the one. So that's, I might keep that one around because I need to remember to actually fix that.
Actually go update that software.
Another SVC host, another access violation, another read at 8. Actually, this is the same thing.
Same crash.
Same crash right there in the middle. So I can get my hard drive space back. Actually, this does sort by name. Same thing.
Same crash. Yeah, I bet you these are all the same.
Actually, I'll leave that one there. That one's different.
This one's different.
That one's the same.
No,
I'm using Q to quit, Q to exit, rather than having to type, to Alt F4 or something.
Yeah.
So I've just climbed back.
Free up some more of your precious hard disk space.
Yeah, still a bit too big something, but. All right. So that one was you. Do I have two of them here?
This was the other one.
Net profiler. That's WinDBG crashing. So we did this one. Actually, what I'm going to do, because I have done this, I need to grab this.
Rename that.
So rename it. All right, so let's look at this one. So now access violation. So the sequence is ECXR.
EXR minus one.
EXR minus one. And hopefully, before the next SDK drops, which I think might be months from now, I'm going to change it so that EXR defaults to minus one, because I'm sick of typing minus one. So if you see nothing, I'm going to change. That's one of my pet peeves.
Well, what does it do now if you do
that? It tries to resolve zero, that. And then a couple other commands, which I'm also going
to
do this too.
Oh, because it's wanting you to give it the address of the exception record you want to see, and really you just want to see the one that's was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a couple other commands which will default to zero, which doesn't make as much sense. So that's, access violation. This time it's a read again. This time
this
it's 40 offset.
We actually have the symbols for this binary IP help service.
We do.
Because we're getting some function name there that looks real. So this is some Microsoft.
So RCX again.
Yeah.
This time.
So that's the this pointer, presumably. Maybe. This is managed code.
It actually got passed in as RCX, so it's probably someone passed in a reference to the member rather than anything else. Yeah. Anyway, IP helper, delete TLS is thread local storage, so it's per thread. Delete interface, I assume this is to do with networking based on the network profile manager talking to the IP helper service.
Sure sounds like it.
So this would explain a loss in Wi-Fi or physical LAN, right? Mm-hmm. We can just double check this, LMVM, and it is IP help us. And the answer is this was threshold. And the answer is upgrade to anniversary edition, people. This dump file's old, hence why it's there.
Yeah.
All right. It's Microsoft asset, Microsoft screw up. Look for KB articles, look for anything like that. If you're not on the latest and greatest, get on the latest and greatest and stuff like that.
Yeah, most likely this is fixed in anniversary update.
And the other option, this one's a good example where, you know what, it crashed and hopefully it'll get fixed at some point, but it's not the end of the world.
Right.
It crashed once, we didn't see like 10 of them. And we understand that, you know, it means that there was no network for a while. Well, right. ProcDump will pop up with a command prompt. So you were doing something probably in the network control panels, and then you probably changed something or pulled a network cable out or something weird. Yeah, you were aware of your actions. This pops and you go, okay, the two of them are correlated.
Right. It's trying to add, well, you can see on the stack there, network added. So something showed up and it was trying to respond to that.
It might have been a Wi-Fi network it was trying to talk to.
Right.
Stuff on top. Yeah.
Some mail.
No access violation.
Sure. Let's do the same.
So we can pipe command. Pipe command tells you where the executable was.
The vertical bar you're calling the pipe.
Yes.
Which is sort of an old DOS.
The one above the enter key, the one on the backslash key on a US keyboard. So C program files, Windows app, so it's store app. HXCOM is part of the Windows communication package, which is how you get mail, people, a couple of other ones. They're all in that package. Mm-hmm. And within that, that was the .exe. So you know kind of where it's from. You have the version number of the package.
So this is the inbox Windows mail app.
Yep. And so, you know, I've got this version. And actually, just for the sake of it, how do I know what version I have right now?
That's a good question. Let's find out.
All right. Under Windows 10, current user, because it's installed for me, apps are installed per user rather than per machine. Mm-hmm. There's some nifty symbolic links under the surface to cut down hard drive space, but it's per user. Software, classes, this is the class of application, and activatable classes, packages. And so this is all the store apps that I have installed. Mm-hmm. And what was that called? It was Windows Communication Apps. So I currently have Windows, I think it's 17.716, so a higher number than this.
Newer version already.
Right, so it's all been upgraded. Mm-hmm. But that's a very quick way of working out, is something installed and what version number? It's per user list.
They always have this hash at the end that's usually this 8WEKY thing.
That is a hash of the word Microsoft. It's meant to be a unique ID. The 8W is a hash of, I think hash the 8 one's Windows, and the CW is Microsoft or vice versa, one of the two. I think this is the Microsoft one. I think 8's Microsoft and CW is Windows.
I see. So if that's something else, you know it's a third party app.
Yeah. And so I think if I look at the top here, this look at, you know, Twitter's hash.
Something
the
else.
Word, the, so this is not that hash of the app, it's the hash of the company.
The company that made it.
The publisher.
Okay.
And so that's what's on the end.
Your HP printer is a different one.
Yeah.
Too.
And this is actually known as the package family full name, right? The first from here to here is the package name. Then we have package version. Then the underscores are the tuple delimiter. Then we have the architecture it's compiled for. So the options are neutral, x64 and x86, and then obviously ARM on Windows Phone, but you won't see that as easily. Then the one that's so neutral means it's a CLR app and it will go either way, where x86 and 64 are compiled explicitly for platforms. So when you go to the store and download it, it will download the appropriate architecture.
I see there's one up there that you wrote too, Andrew Richards, support diagnostics.
There you go. There's a double underscore here. It's actually locale, and it's very rare that, here's a neutral locale. So you can actually specify that this is the compile for a particular geographic region. Okay. And so normally most apps actually just put all of the assets in it, mm-hmm. and they have a folder of all the different languages, mm-hmm. right? But if they want to, for some reasons, for different markets, they may actually make an explicit package, and that's why you get that in the double underscore thing. And then it's called the package publisher, or package public key, which is just a hash of the publisher. I think it's an MD5 hash. Anyway, so that's what I've got installed. Now, the other way of doing it, since we're kind of way off the rails here, under PowerShell, get apex package, and it will list them.
List them that way.
Yeah, and same information, right? And if you go...
plus more information.
All users.
Dependencies and things in here too.
Yeah, if you go all users, and I can say, won't let me do that. Oh, whatever. All users will do it. Oh, I'm elevated, that's why.
Oh, elevated.
It'll show you all users.
Got to be elevated to see other people's stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So this is the crash. ECXR is the registers. In this case, RAX was read, null pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Kabami, and then this happens to have symbols, blah, blah, blah. So the no auto-alignment multi-select checkbox Lisp style item style.
I think
function.
They need
actually, and it's a massive offset, which means it's probably not
probably
the right.
Probably not.
Not the real thing. Office problem, upgrade the app in the store.
To the newer version, which you already have.
Yeah.
So that one's.
HX transfer, same part of the same apps, also part of the communications app. Also an access violation. And we can just see if it's a read or a write out of interest. It's a write, so we have to look at the left-hand side of the assembler. And in this case, this is actually an interesting one.
Oh.
So they actually wrote the number one to address zero. They did it on purpose.
They explicitly wrote something to address zero, which makes no sense at all.
Now, I can tell you that obviously this offset is way off.
Yeah.
They actually ran a function called HX crash on recovery. And it is a specific function designed to route the crash to Bang Analyze and do additional analysis. So they put a signature on the stack and in the registers, and then we go off and do specific analysis for them, this type of thing. Mm. So this is not actually the root cause of the crash. There's actually something else under the scenes. You need symbols, which we don't have, and to get any further. But
so okay.
So deliberate crash of themselves.
So they deliberately wrote to
address so they wrote
in order to cause a crash so that it would trigger.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it didn't make that code ordinarily would make zero sense. You would never write to address zero unless you were intentionally trying to crash.
And they went. That's the address.
They initialize it to null.
And then it's a pointer to an int. And then they said, wherever that points to, write one. That's what they did.
You deleted your T.
Yes. You get the idea.
We get the idea. So they explicitly
crashed,
caused an access
violation.
They
tried to write one to a pointer.
That's null.
That was null, around there's a whole lot of stuff that they've shoved into volatile registers and stuff like that. So guarantee that, I don't know, Viv.
So this was something that's...
So, in this case, the error code might have been -1, but one of these registers will actually have additional pointers to something else. And
so your
Bang Analyze knows that.
Bang Analyze knows how to deal with it.
Yep. So store app, that's what it is. That's what its version is.
Mm-hmm.
Upgrade it.
Yeah.
Or if it's latest and greatest, send feedback.
Yeah.
Link. This is also, I think, the managed link, which I think is now deprecated. I think we've gone for the Win32 one now instead.
I can't keep track.
Different exception code. It's a well-known exception code. It's a C++ exception. So someone's literally gone in C++, throw, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
That command. And nobody caught it.
Okay.
So ECXR, because of who I am, I have access.
We're getting.
All right. So yeah.
Oh no, we're seeing source.
ECXR. goes to the point, okay. And raise exceptions. So what's happened is this C++ code has tried to catch the exception. Nobody caught it. And then it went, ouch, that's not good. And then it raised it. So what it means is, and this is a symbol should be available publicly, I believe. Actually, unfortunately, a lot of this is missing. The code is the one we had before. It's a decimal number there, so you need to put on on the front.
Zero end is specified decimal, because the default is hex.
Hex, yeah. And here's that code that's the same as the ECXR. and then because it's a C++ exception, I believe this is a context. Is it?
Doesn't look like it.
I think it's that way around. Nope. Yeah, magic numbers, they mean things.
C++, when it throws an exception, it puts things in those.
All right, this is what we're doing. This is no way. This is actually a function name. CFFF, code in x86 is loaded from address CFFF downwards, which is like 64 terabytes into the address space or something, right?
Right.
So. This was the function that, one of the functions that it pointed out. So it raised that, and this might be actually a relaunch of multiple. And so UCIM, Microsoft Ordinal, which means they've changed the function names, they reworded it when they compile it, and something to do with file paths. So this got thrown, probably threw into this, and then this threw it, and nobody caught it.
Okay.
Point is,
so something with file paths, we think. So essentially what you did there is LN, which is list nearest module on those parameters.
On those addresses. And I knew it was a candidate because it had the S.
Because the 7FFF usually is in code.
Now this one is a bit weirder. We can go bang address to see what type of... It is rewrite memory. It's probably a block out of... It is an address.
Space or something.
This one's a bit lower. Out of interest, let's try .formats first. It's not a string. It's not anything decent.
Doesn't
look
like an error code.
And no access. So it's a block of free memory. So that might represent some, I don't know, some error code or something.
You'd need to know more about the exact exception.
But yeah, going from the start, ECXR. C++ exception, K gives us some stuff. You can see it. This startup code tried to do something, and actually, what we got that extra information by going, what were you interacting with?
And looking at those parameters.
List near.
Which look like function addresses.
Because it's got 7F on it. And so it's one of those two functions. Anyway, it's to do with, there's a fail exception, probably from file paths. If I was getting this over and over again, I'd probably use process monitor.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Yeah, that would, but appears to have something to do with the file system.
Yeah, step one, store app, check for an update.
Check, see if it's the latest.
Now, I'll show you how to do that. So, store apps, under Windows 8, it's up here. Under Windows 10, my icon's not showing. Downloads and updates.
There it is.
And then check for updates. And it's going to give me whatever the delta is. I haven't logged in this guy for ages, so I expect it's going to have a few. Actually, it updated a few minutes ago.
It's been doing it in the background. Yeah.
No, there you go. So it's been months since I turned this guy on.
Well, there's this Skype preview. I don't know if that's the same thing as Link.
That's different.
Is that different?
Yeah, actually, this was actually using Link. And it's actually up to date because in the background it did it.
Yeah.
Right. So now we're going to make some fun of MSIT.
Oh, no.
Because it's quite easy.
You know, I was talking to somebody who worked there, and they were giving us grief about, bad mouth in their code.
I won't bad mouth their code if it doesn't crash. All right. CLR exception. Well, as another thing, another well-known error code. That's hence the spew. ECXR to see what's going on. CLR exception actually was throwing this H result.
We just know 8000 is usually an H result.
Yep.
You just kind of...
You learn the numbers.
You learn those, or anything starting with 800 or C100.
Yeah. Or even E100 too.
Yeah.
So Bang Error. Bang Error is part of the Bang Analyze code base. And it will give you that way of looking at it. And PDE actually is H-result centric in its error codes.
Okay.
So it's not very good at giving you like a Win32 error code, but it's very good at giving you H-result ones.
Oh, okay.
The Bang Analyze one, Bang Error, is very good at status codes, but not very good at H-results.
So try both, depending on which it is.
Yeah.
Either of them give us that this is an unspecified error, which is like kind of useless.
It's the generic, whatever.
Yeah, something's wrong.
So we can look at the stack. Now, this is the internal debugger, so it's actually going to show you stuff on the stack. But what you should... there's a lot of stack. Look, I'm missing a lot of symbols here. Mm. It may or may not matter, but anyway, it's a CLR exception. Mm-hmm. Looking at this, you're not getting very far. And a lot of time with a CLR exception, it actually is the stack that you see that is reported for, it has got nothing to do with it anyway. Because it's like something bad happens, it stores it, and then it goes off and talks about it somewhere else. So the command you want is bang PE, and I don't have it loaded. So what you need to do is download from the Microsoft Symbol Server. I don't know. I haven't got it. These things, and the debugger does this automatically, right? So this particular version of the framework behind it that knows how to solve this is missing, not indexed. Our bad. And one day I'll look at this. Actually, I should do. Missed. Hopefully, this one. Yeah, this one's missing too. Different app. This one's missing too.
The public symbol server?
Yeah, I was using this at the conference and I haven't updated it. So this is context. So I was using the private symbols before. We're very good actually at releasing symbols that are kind of equivalent now. I mean, 5 years ago, it wasn't even close. But we've open sourced so much that we've started pushing out private PDBs rather than public PDBs for a lot of things. I know.
Which is nice.
XAML's now private PDBs. I know Combase is now private PDBs.
Is it?
A lot of NT, all the things in NT, like the raise exception, those segments of the code base are open.
So that is nice because then you can look at local variables, you can see more of the parameters that are passed.
Loading. You'll get there.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll have, actually that should be enough.
If you can get it to stop now.
I should. We'll cheat.
Started.
This hasn't got it either. So that's kind of annoying. There we go.
So
these are all CLR exceptions. CLR exception, error code, this. You even get the directory thing.
Oh, that's pretty handy.
It is. Just the generic H result for a system exception. I don't think this is going to get any better. Yeah.
No, it doesn't even show you.
So the actual error code is not in any particular, doesn't have any particular meaning. It's not a well-defined one.
It's just generic.
Yeah, so it's just within this space.
Okay.
And so what you do is bang PE, right? And this is going to spit out the stack that happened. And so in this case, it was a system directory services account management principal server down exception.
That's pretty specific.
And it actually has an inner exception of system directory services protocols LDAP exception.
And now we are doing PE on this one because it's a CLR.
Exception code.
Exception code.
Yep.
Rather than just a generic.
ECXR type.
Yeah.
If you tend to use ECXR, look at it registers for access violations, for CLR, bang PE. And hopefully, if all the things align, those DLLs will automatically download from the symbol server.
Right.
For this one, because it has an inner it tends to be the inner one that at fault, and the outer is just repeating something that's going wrong.
Okay.
So here's the internal one. The LDAP server isn't available. So this is crashing because this line of code, this .NET code that worries about directory services, Active Directory, the LDAP server is unavailable.
So I mean, that seems like a pretty common scenario. You can't get to this LDAP server, and now you're at
you should
handle that, right?
You're at home. You haven't got VPN enabled. You don't have access to the internal networks.
So MSIT people, you should handle this scenario instead of just crashing.
And so this is where it crashes. this is where it's raised. And realistically, it's this line, this function that needs to capture this. And in fact, it does capture it. And then it just throws it as an inner child of this.
It doesn't actually do anything.
So it just needs to be more graceful about it. Anyway, so crashing your app just because you can't talk to a server is not really cool. It's just wasting. So that's what these are all rubbish. Actually, I should get around to getting them indexed. But these things.
Oh, you still got it open.
Actually, that can stay there. All right, MSTSC. We're kind of running out of time, I'm sure. But access violation. Oh, lots of zeros. This is not boding well.
That doesn't look good.
Attempted to read from address. Weird.
Wow, that's a bogus looking address.
And a free address at that. There's a lot of damage in here. Teb 1 pointer is null, so yeah, the teb is missing. So normally when you write a dump file, there's the peb and the teb. The peb is the process environment block.
Right.
Environment variables and peb's not it.
It's not there either.
Yeah. Environment variables. So here's all my symbol cache stuff.
These are normally there.
The current directory.
So every process on your system has a peb associated with it.
Yeah. Here's its current directory. This is what's shown on the screen. And this is heap information.
All the DLLs that's loaded.
And all their versions and the hashes. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so that's the peb. And then per teb, there is what's per teb. And
each thread has its teb.
Thread environment
block, which gives you the pointers to where the stack is and where,
And client IDs like to do with Win32K. And here's the TLS storage, which is a technology per thread to have the same variable name per thread. Stacks between these two pointers. This is the stack range, usually 1 megabyte, and looks about 1 megabyte. The last error. So when you do get last error,
that's where it comes from.
And that's where the stats comes from.
Very nice.
All right. So in this case, it hasn't got it. So ECXR minus one, read from zero.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's not one.
This is the actual dump that we're looking at. Yeah, okay.
I tried to read from a really bad address. Probably was his function because the offset's very small.
Yeah.
And ECXR to get to the context. There's the plus 48 on top of this thing, which explains the 48 there. So it looks like this part is a bit trashy.
So RCX plus 48 is some structure probably because this is C code.
Actually, it could have been Unicode, GE something. So it could be Unicode text. Actually, it's not zeros between. Yeah, it's probably not string corruption, but it is a very obscure address.
It's a really weird address. How did that get in there?
So in this case, there's the stack. Process debug information. I have no idea what
this is. This was MSTSC, which is your terminal services
remote
client.
Desktop,
and it is trying to query. Process debug information remote. Why it got that weird value, who knows. But this dump seems a little messed up because it's missing the peb and the teb.
It didn't go well. Maybe the system was running low on resources and was a bit weird, and that's why the peb and teb couldn't get written.
Do you think the dump is partially corrupt or something?
A little bit. With those missing,
The dump didn't actually make it all the way out either.
Once again, it's old release, update it. Out of interest, and we could go dump debug.
Okay.
And it will tell us what's in the dump file.
It had
full memory, all the handle information unloaded, all the full memory. So full memory is memory. Handle, bang handles. And if I run this, what it's going to do is, where is it? Handle table. It's just handle. It's just going to summarize that information. Unloaded modules. So normally you only get modules that are still in the process. Unloaded information is it was the DLL was loaded and then taken out of the process. Mm-hmm. All the residuals there. Full memory information. That's the thing that tells you, hey, this is free memory. This is private. This is image. Bang address. That's what that uses. Thread info. Bang tab.
Right.
Ignoring inaccessible memory means continue dumping if you can't read the memory, which is a good example of why we still have a dump file. So instead of the dump failing, because that flag was turned on,
right.
And bang token is the security token, and I am currently running as this user, bang token, right?
Okay. So most likely that dump is not really valid. It's missing some key details.
But it's a one where just upgrade. Another one.
Free up storage space.
Yeah. Shell experience host. This is a shell for Office, shell for Windows.
Okay.
This device flow UI. Null reference pointer. Upgrade Windows. There's going to be shell again.
Yeah, I think a lot of these you're going to find are just old versions.
This is a different one. FileFast. So FileFast is a kind of like Terminate, but it will contact Windows Error Reporting and give it information. And sometimes, there's no locals.
This is interesting. It was...
There's a FileFast out of interest. PDE's got this DPX.
PDE.DPX.
It just tries to find stuff. Right. Element not found in some collection. That's probably what brought it down.
So it's looking at the managed call stack and dumping out...
It's just going raw, brute force.
Things of interest.
Yeah, brute force up to 5 pointers away, trying to find strings and stuff like that.
Okay.
Actually, there's a stow exception here. There you go. This is... So stow exception's a Windows RT store app concept.
Mm-hmm.
It found one of these. Here's the stack of actually what crashed. So something to do with the networking UI. It's dated.
Oh, this is actually July. RS1.
Yeah, pretty close. So that's not good. So there's a bug.
This is new, Redstone 1.
Yeah.
This is also known as the anniversary update.
Yeah. So yeah, that's... So two or three commands. You know, access violations.
Mm-hmm.
Always EXR minus one to work out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Access violations, ECXR, look at the registers, kind of understand, read, write, execute.
See what actual assembly instruction caused the fault.
And then it should give the simple name there, but also K for stack.
Mm-hmm.
And just get the idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
LMVM, list module verbosely with a mask. Then the module name.
Module name.
Tell you everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes for CLR. ECXR minus one. You'll get an H result. Use bang error or bang ERR to find out what the H result means.
And bang ERR is part of PDE,
yep.
Which you have downloaded from the Defrag Tools OneDrive.
Yep. And then, of course, it's CLR bang PE.
Yes.
And that will give you the CLR thing going on. Delve into the deepest you can find. It tends to be more pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, use the pipe command. Tells you where the executable is on the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Regedit, users, software, classes, activatable classes, packages. And that will tell you what's latest and greatest on your box if you want to do it high-speed regedit way. Or in PowerShell, get apex package or packages. And that will list it that way. So, with store apps, go to the store, check for updates. For Windows stuff, get onto anniversary updates. For update issues, use the feedback tool.
Make sure you're running the latest monthly updates or whatever's off Windows update.
Use feedback. So as soon as it crashes, bring this up, and we'll collect the recent crash. We'll correlate that stuff.
Ah, okay.
Everything in the last couple of minutes, we go, hey, what happened in the last couple of minutes?
I see.
We'll suck it up with
the
feedback report.
It'll pull that along with the feedback entry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
And if based on what you say crashed or what the issue was, it will actually snap the log files for that application. So a lot of these are in RAM rotating. Mm-hmm. It'll snap them at them as well. So.
Good to know.
Gives Microsoft or whoever it is, the app developer, the best chance of fixing their issue.
So when you see a crash, use the feedback tool within a few minutes.
Yeah. You don't need to, the crash will go up automatically, but it's only really if you've got a bit more metadata that you want to say, hey, I was doing this. This was the repro steps.
This was the repro steps. That's always useful to a developer to know.
And we look at them. And my team owns the feedback tool or my area. And every single one is looked at. We look at them and we action them. And that's how things get fixed.
Awesome.
We actually fix the things more in feedback order now than we do in other pivots. Like before, we might just do based on hits or population
number
or whatever
of crashes.
Yeah. But now it's actually we use the social effect to guide decisions as well.
That's good to know. So the feedback tool does not go unlooked at.
No, definitely looked at.
The opposite. It gets priority.
Yeah.
Very good to know.
Well, it's augmented. It's an augmentation of the priority.
If we get a lot of feedback, we go, hey, people actually care about that crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good to know.
Cool.
Good to know. All right.
Hope you enjoy that.
Yeah.
Bit rapid fire.
Rapid fire debugging.
Bit of off the path bit of it. But yeah. Proc dump, minus yes. MA, minus I. Get some dumps, practice.
Yeah.
Get PDE from OneDrive.
Yeah.
.ACXR, bang PE, bang K, whatever it is, and then you'll be a debugging champion within no time.
A debugging guru. And as always, if you have questions about that, you can email us at defragtools@microsoft.com or post your questions in the show notes down below. And I think that's all we got this week, but we'll have some more stuff coming up. I don't know yet what, but we got a few ideas. Right on. Well, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
See everybody. Have a good week. Thank you.